Good morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. I appreciate the Lord already showing up this morning. That's a blessing. 1 John chapter 3. Last week I tried to finish this chapter. I sort of rushed through the last little bit and felt like I lost about half of you with the little kids coming back in, and didn't feel like I hardly got to do it justice, and not that I ever could, but I do want to give it my best. And so we're gonna step back up and try to pick up some of that I tried to rush through last week and speak just a little more to it. It won't take just a few minutes. But we're going to pick back up in chapter 3 again, 1 John chapter 3. And we'll start the reading once again in verse number 22. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And so we were looking there last week as we were finishing up at some things there. Though it says those things in verse number 22. It says, "And do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so if I want to be assured that God is hearing me, then I want to, Dustin, I want to put together every piece of this puzzle and make sure that I'm trying to abide by exactly what his word tells me to do. And so obviously he tells us, if we want our prayers answered, we need to be listening to his word. That's what he's talking about, keep his commandments. His commandments need to be at the forefront of our mind and of our life. We got to follow what he says for us to do. But then he follows that up and says, "And do those things that are pleasing." And so a few of those things that we looked at last week was, obviously we know that he's well pleased with his Son. He's always pleased with Christ.
Yep.
Always. He's not ever pleased with our flesh.
Right.
Bible tells us that explicitly in the book of Romans, that we cannot please God in the flesh.
That's true.
It's an impossibility. But he's pleased with preaching about his Son. He's pleased with the revealing of his Son in you and I. And he was pleased to put us in Christ, we saw in Ephesians. And he's pleased when you and I shine the light of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us over in Philippians. And also in Philippians, it taught us that he's pleased with us giving to the cause of Christ. Let's not forget these things. These are some of those things that please the Lord, that we know explicitly please him. But he's pleased with us living for Christ. The book of Colossians teaches us, and also in Colossians, the preeminence of Christ. He's pleased that we take care of our families and make sure our children are obedient. That's important to God. Folks, if you want to have a good testimony, you better have some children that are in subjection. That's a good way to lose a testimony and lose confidence with people. It's for your family to just be crazy. But that's about where we left off, or where we tried to rush through. But so today, I want you to flip over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a biggie that we're lacking today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this speaks of our sanctification in Christ. And God wants you and I to be sanctified. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be different than those out there in the world. And people need to see that difference. And so we're going to read a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll just go down through here quickly. But verse number 1, it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So you understand that our walk has something to do with how we please the Lord. And verse number 2, he says, "For you know that what commandments we gave you," or "you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." So it seems interesting here in multiple places that you find God's commandments and pleasing both in the same passage. Why is that? Because he esteems his word so highly. Folks, if you can act like you love the Lord, but if you don't esteem his word, you're not getting anywhere with Christ. You never will. He says, for this is the will of God. This is one of those low-hanging fruit spots. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
Yep.
So in other words, don't be out there doing things sexually with people that are not your spouse.
Right.
Stay away from it.
Yep.
That's what he's saying. It's that simple. Stay away from it. Sanctify. Be separate. So that word sanctify itself means to make holy, purified, or alienated from sin and the world, consecrated, to be set apart for a sacred purpose. You can't dibble-dabble in sin all the time and still be of use to the Lord.
Sure.
Just don't work that way. So, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, know how to control yourself. Take possession of yourself. We actually are owned by him, but we're in our own possession. And so we need to grab a hold of this thing and control it. And that can talk about lots of different areas of our lives. We need to control ourselves. It says, not in the lust of concupiscence. So that has the idea of that sexual pleasure again, that just going, you know, doing what you feel is right, all that. We don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that. You don't do what you feel is right, what your mind desires to do. You can't do those things. It says, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That's what people that don't know God do. They go out and do what they want to. You and I can't do that. That it says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Yes.
Folks, this is left out of a lot of Christian lives today.
Yep.
And it ain't going to be no shouting time right now for a minute, but if we want to get anywhere with God, we've got to be holy.
Yep.
I'm not saying you've got to work to get saved, but if you want to get past just being saved, if you want anything with God, you will have to be sanctified.
That's right.
And it don't happen overnight. This life, man, it's just battle after battle after battle in this flesh. And it takes a time and progression, Brother Doug, to figure out what God wants. You don't learn this Bible overnight. Been reading it for a long time, and there's a lot I still don't know about it. And you know how you figure it out? You just stay in it and stay with it and stay faithful to it and just ask the Lord to light your path for you and help you with it. But he wants us to be holy. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
It says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He says, you know how to love one another. You've been taught that. God put that in your heart to do that. He's helped you with that. That's automatic for somebody that's saved. I'll just tell you. You get saved, you will love your brother. I don't know how to explain it. The Holy Ghost comes in on the inside and gives you a love for the people of God. It's just immediate. You get born again, those people that you didn't like, guess what will happen? You'll start liking them. Nathaniel tells a testimony how he used to run from those preachers. I love to hear him tell that. Nathaniel, you don't have to run from him no more, do you? It just changes. God changes that and says, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Do better and better and better. And that ye study to be quiet. Uh-oh. And to do your own business. It's hard to talk to the Lord and be talking to everybody else. And we're very, very guilty. I put myself in that aspect of talking to other people about problems before I talk to the Lord about them. And we as Christians, we can't be busybodies and still please the Lord.
Right.
It don't work. Stay in your lane.
Yep.
Don't try to teach Brother Kevin how to preach.
Right.
Hey, it ain't going to work.
Nope.
You can't do it. And until you've ever stood up here and tried, guess what? You have no business even mentioning
right.
it.
Right.
You just pray for him.
Yep.
Folks, everybody here is on a different... We've all got different lives. We've got different circumstances. be careful about talking about somebody else in their circumstances. What's it say? It says that you do whose business? Their business? Do your own business.
Yes.
Stay out of everybody else's. Take care of your own. I have enough trouble with my own business. I ain't got time to take care of yours, Brother Adam. I really don't. I struggle that much taking care of my own self that I don't have trouble. Kevin, I don't have time to take care of yours. We can talk about them, and we compare problems. Sometimes we just call and compare problems. And sometimes I tell him, Brother, it makes me happy that you're struggling with that same stuff. I've told him that. I'm honest. I said, he says, I know, I hate to tell you this. And I said, I'm glad you do tell me this. You know, he struggles just like you and I do. A lot of the same stuff you and I struggle with, he struggles with. But what he's struggling with, I'll help him pray for it. But I need not get in there and try to meddle in it. It's not my business. It's his business. I'll offer advice if he asks. He offers me advice if I ask. But we don't try to get in each other's business and fix each other. We can't do it. Lord has to do that. So mind your own business. And to work with your own hands. Hey, don't just be a busybody. Take your hands and do some work and get some stuff done. If you're out there busy doing something, guess what happens? You ain't got time to do all that talking. If we would go home and oh me right here, instead of sitting on the couch and picking up a phone or whatever, if we get our hands busy doing something that's profitable, you know what would happen? We wouldn't be seeing all that stuff on Facebook, social media. Wouldn't be no busybody. Folks, we just got to be careful. I don't want to hinder nobody. I'm not trying to be on a soapbox, but this is what Scripture teaches very clearly. This is what pleases God. You know, we're all the time asking, well, I just don't know what the will of the Lord is. Well, here it is.
Here it is.
It's explained and it's explicit. There's no question about these things please God.
Right.
That you study to be quiet, you do your own business, you work with your own hands as we commanded you. Paul says, I've taught you this. You just need to do it. Apply it. He says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. If you want to lose a testimony quickly, you walk dishonestly toward some people out there. Guess what will happen? You'll ruin your name. You'll ruin your testimony. And it ruins your walk with the Lord.
That's right.
Folks, I know preachers. They can preach, but they ain't got no testimony out there.
Right.
Can't accomplish anything, you lose your testimony.
Right.
Because you walk dishonestly.
Right.
Can't do that. Right. Just don't go together. You can't please the Lord and walk dishonestly. Doug, and I know you enough to know you'd rather lose money and keep your testimony with somebody.
Right.
He's one of them. I know him.
Right. Yep.
He'd rather let somebody steal from him.
Yep.
Than to lose his testimony with his customers. That's the way we ought to do. Sometimes it's not worth the fight, Jesse. Your testimony is not worth certain fights. And that's just the truth of it.
Yes.
Some people would rather fight. They don't care about what it hurts, what it harms, who it hurts. They'll argue, they'll whatever. We can't be that way as Christians.
That's right.
There are times that we just study to be quiet. You just keep your mouth shut. And if you're going to talk about it, who do you talk to? You talk to the Lord about it. This is what's pleasing to the Lord. And is that easy? No, it's not easy. Our flesh, it is just, man alive, it just wants to rear up against those things. Somebody does you wrong, what do you immediately want to do? I want revenge. In my flesh, I'm competitive by nature. And I'm not the only one in here that's like that. And if you hurt me, guess what? I don't know what it is in me. If somebody punches you, what do you naturally want to do? Punch them back. Is that always right? No, it's not right. No. Don't let somebody kill you. But also don't beat the brakes off of them.
Right.
It's not what we're called to do. Folks, we're supposed to live peaceably as much as we can, but definitely we're to walk honestly toward them that are without. And it says, and that ye may have lack of nothing. If you want to be the spiritual person that God has called you to be, it takes sanctification. Does that mean you're going to be rich, Dustin? No. But I can tell you this, if you try to be faithful to the Lord, He will take care of you. In every aspect, spiritually, emotionally, financially, all those things, the Lord will take care of it. In every instance, He just says, bring it to Him, give it to Him. He'll take care of it. You'll have lack of nothing. He'll make sure of it. But there's some stipulations on this life. So if you want to please me, please the Lord, there's some things you're going to have to do. You can't come to me and ask for all these different things for me to answer your prayers and for you to go out there and live like the devil.
Right.
It don't work. And we can say, well, the Lord's not hearing me, but He said He'd do these things. He promised that He would hear. But there's some stipulations on our lives that we need to do if we really want to get serious with God. And we've got to do some things that please Him. We can't just live like the devil and expect God to hear us. So our sanctification pleases the Lord. But then flip on over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11, it says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling, or this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. And here's what really pleases Him here, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God desires for His Son? He wants Him to be glorified in our lives. And you know what happens in turn when we glorify Christ? It affects us too.
That's right.
You want to be uplifted in the Spirit? You want to be drawn closer to the Lord? You want to be uplifted? That's how you do it. You magnify Christ. You don't magnify self. You got to give Him the glory. And God's pleased when Christ is glorified in us. Then flip on over 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're about done with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, it says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You want to please the Lord? You got to be a good soldier. You know the biggest thing about being a good soldier is not getting tangled up with everything else going on. He says, don't get entangled. Folks, you can't fight if you're all tangled up.
Right.
And a lot of us, Jordan, we just get tangled up. That's where we live. I'm tangled. This arm's tangled up in this. This one's tangled up in this.
Yep.
My feet's tangled up over here. And when you're tied down, tangled up, I've walked through some thickets in my life and got to the point, Jordan, I could not go farther this way because I was so tangled up. You look down and there's a briar wrapped around one ankle. I mean, I've been here. I know what it's like to be entangled and be afraid to move, honestly. Be so many briars wrapped around. And Jesse, I know you've been there. You get out at night. But you get so tangled up, there comes a point where you just have to stop and be still. And you can literally do nothing until you figure out what's got you held.
Right.
Think, man, I'm stuck. When I move my leg, I'm getting poked by something. And when I move this arm, it won't lift up. I got to figure out how to get out of this mess before I can go forward.
Yep.
It's the same with a soldier.
That's true.
You can't be entangled with the affairs of this life and still trying to be moving forward as a good soldier.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want to please your general, your captain, your commander, whatever, You know how you do it? You don't get tangled up. You stay out of them tangles. You get out of them. Move on. Move forward. Don't get tangled up. You want to please the Lord, stay untangled with the affairs of this life. And I hope you understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about real briars. He's talking about getting our minds wrapped up so much in the things of this world that it chokes us out from being able to do the things that we're supposed to do. And Kristen had it right there. It's easy. It's easy to get so tangled up, Doug, in our problems, our affairs, our family troubles, our financial troubles, all those different things, our work problems, our kids' problems. Man, if we're not careful, we'll start counting them all. Start thinking about it, and we'll be tied up so tight that we can't come in here and worship. We can't pray. And I just keep going back in my mind to when Hunter was preaching. Y'all that were here, remember he was preaching about what he was saying was his mind was tangled up that he couldn't pray. And now he had a serious thing going on. But there comes a time for all of us. We've got to choose. We're either going to let everything go and not be tangled up in it, or we're going to let it bog us down to the point we don't accomplish nothing. And there are times we get tangled up so bad we can't do nothing for the Lord. And we just got to be careful to not allow ourselves to do that. But Hebrews 11. Preacher got on this the other night. If you want to really please the Lord, you'll have to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start in verse 5. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." But then I find it real interesting that what the next verse says. He's tying it to Enoch's life. And he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." What he's saying is Enoch had faith because, you see, he pleased God, it said, verse number 5. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And then what it's telling us is how he pleased God. He just lived a life of faith. He just got out and walked with the Lord. He communed with him. Enoch's one of the few people in Scripture the Bible specifically says walked with God. He walked with God. And it says that he just was not, for God took him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To have faith means you rely on him. You rely on what he's told you. You just believe it. You accept it. And you just live by it.
Right.
It's not that you just say you believe it, but your actions show that you believe what he says. You see, faith works. He said that, I think, the other night. The book of James teaches that. Faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, faith works. I don't work to have faith. But because I have faith, it works. There's some things that we do as Christians because we have faith. And if you see a life without any works, then they probably don't have a whole lot of faith. But faith pleases the Lord. You want to please God, you've got to first have faith. I'll tell you lastly, one of the things that is a blessing to me in Hebrews chapter 13. That we find is that God is pleased with Christ's work in us. Hebrews 13, verse number 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You know, that's well-pleasing for God to do a work in you and I. To just take all these things and start molding us into what He wants us to be. That sanctification process, working in you, that's well-pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
When he sees somebody first put faith in Christ, you know, there's joy in the presence of the angels when that happens. But that joy doesn't stop. I think in life, every time there's a step forward in that faith, it's well-pleasing, the Bible says, to the Lord. He likes doing a work in you. And He likes to see change in your life. He don't like us just standing still.
Right.
And never going anywhere for Him. You see, the whole purpose of this is going to be brought about. We've already looked in 1 John. It teaches us that we're going to one day be like Him. We're going to see Him as He is. See, we start here. We look a lot like the first Adam. But when we finish, we're going to look just like the second Adam.
Right.
That's the purpose. We're going from this to this. And God gave us a space for us to have some input on how it looks from between the two. However many years we've got here, we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He wants some change. Change. Change don't come easy, does it? But it pleases the Lord when we change toward Him. So, we started this talking about doing those things that are pleasing to Him. When we pray, if we've got something we're really seeking Him after, we ought to be wanting to please the Lord.
Yep.
Because we want to have those petitions that we're asking. So, Lord, I want to honor You because this means so much to me. And I know that if I live a life that's honoring to You, Lord, You're a lot more apt to hear me and answer me than if I'm out there living like the devil. That's just what the Bible says. Now, we're supposed to be motivated by love and all that. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So they go hand in hand. So if we'll follow instruction, what this Bible tells us, Dustin, is right. Guess what will happen? It'll work.
Yes, sir.
It works every time. If we don't, you won't get anywhere. But do you notice that the theme of all these things that please the Lord, it revolves around one person. And it's all about Christ. And if you want to get anywhere with Him, the main thing is that you let Christ be preeminent. If you can allow Him to have preeminence in your life, that means He has the throne. He has dominion. He's the one that gets uplifted. You know, those words, I forget, some of us probably aren't familiar with those, but that He might have the preeminence, He ought to be number one. And in every situation, if we just let Christ allow Him to do what He wants to do in us, guess what will happen?
Yeah.
You'll automatically just be
yeah.
pleasing to the Lord. Just allowing Him to work. And that happens through the work of the Holy Ghost on the inside. As He moves you, you take this book, you read it, He says, you need to do that right there. And you say, okay, I'll do that right there. And when you do that, that's how we please the Lord. We just, one step at a time. And I just know that He's pleased with Christ. And if I can center my life around Christ, He will be pleased.
Yep.
He'll just be pleased. All right, so we come to a close here in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23, it says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. That sounds a whole lot like Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Right.
That's what Jesus said. You got to love the Lord first. You can't love the Lord without first putting faith in His Son. But if you put faith in Him, you'll love Him and you'll love others. Those are the two greatest commandments. And here's the thing. You say, well, that's not a whole lot. That's not a big list. Well, but that, if you get those two right, if you get those two, that's all it takes is two. You get two. All this other stuff comes easy. You say, that's not right. The Bible tells me it is. Romans 13. Romans 13, you can look at it with me. First time I read this as just a young fella, man, my eyes just got big. I was like, Lord, wow. That is a big scripture. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Did you hear that? It says he hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love folks, you're not going to try to take their spouse. Yeah, it ain't going to happen. You won't do that. You'll love your spouse. You want one another. That's what it's talking about. This is that simple. Thou shalt not kill. If you love somebody, you're probably not going to kill them. Thou shalt not steal. You're not going to take their stuff either if you love them. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Adam, if I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. It says, thou shalt not covet. I'm not going to desire your things and the things that I'm not supposed to have. If I'm loving you and loving the Lord right. He says, and if there be any other commandment, which we know there are, so if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. None. You're not harming somebody by loving them. It says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you want to get it right with the Lord, you just got to get your love right. You love Him, you love people, and you'll start pleasing Him. And that's the way that it works. God's made it that way for us. See, He's made this thing real, it's real plain. We complicate it, but it's real plain. The problem is, it's real easy for our spiritual man to receive it. This fleshly man, he does not like it. And there are people that this flesh will not like. And there's people that's hard for me to love. And this flesh gets in the way. So you got to bring it into subjection.
Yes.
It's painful. It's a painful process sometimes. But we're to do it. And so if you love, God will be pleased with it. Verse 24, and we'll wrap this up. It says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. In other words, if you esteem his word, if you listen to what he says, there's this dwelling, there's this abiding that's taking place in your life in Christ. It's a good place to be, to esteem his word. And it says not only that, and he in him. So I'm dwelling in him. And guess what else has happened? He's dwelling in me. We're in each other. That means I can't go nowhere without him, and he don't go nowhere without me. Folks, we're together. I'm in this thing with him. The Bible says in another place, we are hid with Christ in God. Folks, that's a good place to be, is to be in him. There's a lot of things in him. We're not going to get in that today, but I like being in him, don't you? And it says, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. By what? By the Spirit. Big S. Big S. Big S. There's always a difference. You know that, right? When you read your Bible, make sure you're paying attention to the first letter of that word. If it's capital, it's talking about a person, the Holy Spirit. If it's a little s, that means a whole lot of different things. It could be various different things. You got to make sure you know what the context of the Scripture is to understand what that's talking about. And we'll get into that right here shortly. But hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If you're saved, you can rest assured of this one thing. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And you may go a day or two, Adam, or however long, and maybe not feel it, and everything not be right. But you go to try to do something that you're not supposed to do, that he's against, and you'll feel that Holy Ghost say, uh-uh, we don't do that. Remember what I did for you. You see, he always testifies of Christ.
Yeah.
When he comes to you, it's not, there's a difference in your conscience and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And they can work together. But your conscience will tell you, you don't do that because so-and-so will be mad at you. You might displease your parents. You might displease your spouse. But the Holy Ghost comes by and says, you might displease your Lord. That's who he testifies of.
Right.
The Holy Ghost. That's why you know that it's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. He starts reminding you of the Lord and what he's done for you.
Yes, sir.
You know that's him. We'll read that on chapter 4. Where are we at on times? You may know. I ain't bring a clock up here. Oh, well, I meant to get in chapter 4. We ain't going to get that today. I guess it was all review today. But, folks, it's nice to have sweet communion and fellowship. But that comes at a price. It'll cost you. It'll cost you being willing to be sanctified and to allow Christ to do a work in you. If you live in constant rebellion, it'll be a life of misery as a saint. It's miserable life. Just continually to know what God wants of you and to continually just say, no, I don't want that. That's a miserable life. A Christian can only go that way for so long. That's up to God how long that goes, but how long he allows it, but it's got to be fixed. But I was going to flip over to Romans, but you all probably know it, Romans chapter 8. It teaches us, if you ain't got the Spirit of God, you're none of his. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you are his. See, that's the main determining factor of salvation, is whether or not the Holy Ghost moved in. If he did, you can rest assured you're saved. If what happened in your life, the Holy Ghost never made a change, never moved in, you can rest assured you didn't get it. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
I appreciate everybody's good attention, and we'll have prayer for anybody that would like to.